All right. Good morning. We are back live on the 12th floor of the State Capitol for the admin portion of the September 2nd North Dakota Public Service Commission meeting. I'll call this meeting to order. Excuse me. We have a couple items on consent. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay. Moving on to discussion matters. We have three items. The first one is temporary approval requests from Sue Richter.
The commission has had a process in place for quite a number of years that it has used when we've had requests for granting temporary approvals between commission meetings so that licensees can get started doing something or close a business down or whatever the case may be. And we've had a number of those requests in the recent weeks, and Commissioner Christman and I were talking about the about the process that was used, and he asked if I would add it to the agenda so it can be discussed with the commission. I'm not sure. I don't know that him and I had ever really had a long discussion about it before, and I'm not sure, Commissioner Fedorchik, if you were familiar or if you were aware that we had this type of process in place that was being used, and that is once statutory compliance has been met, if there is an urgent request for approval before we can get to another commission meeting, we've asked for something in writing from the licensee. The process is to go to the portfolio holder first for approval, and if that portfolio holder is not available, then to go to another commissioner to grant the approvals. Those approvals are only effective until the next commission meeting in which that item has been added, so that the whole entire commission has an opportunity to look at the matter and to then vote and either adopt, or you would have an opportunity, I guess, to reject that.
I was aware of it, but just recently because of, I think, one that we had done, you guys had done a temporary and then added it to our special meeting agenda the last time. So,
yeah, it seemed like it came up only maybe once or twice in 2.5 years, and now it's coming up multiple times, it seems like, every week here, or at least every couple, for each meeting. So out of this kind of pretty significant list of approvals that we did today, of course, some of them were discontinuances, so all that many, but two or three of those already had temporary approvals, and I mentioned the one because I just thought it was interesting that they had a truck waiting, but they weren't buying their grain until they got their permit. And I know we have a provision like this in place for some of these PCNNs for electric service. I find myself a little bit concerned about it because I don't think this should be the norm. It seems like a license application, especially if we're on a two-week cycle with our meetings, it seems like you would expect them to have their application in a couple weeks ahead of when they actually intend to be buying grain. But then there's going to be emergency situations, so I sort of hate to see the process go away. I don't want to make it become the routine. But I did have concerns about, okay, what am I signing here? What if then in the end there's a problem and the commission never approved this facility or what? And so I had Sue do some of this research, and going way back into the 90s when it first came up, just on changes of capacity, and then kind of an evolution at one point. Then for the new licensees or discontinues, it was just Commissioner Clark who was the portfolio holder at that time, but he was named by name. And then it went to Commissioner Clark, and then I think the second choice was Kramer, and the third choice was Kalk. And then ultimately it was changed to be the portfolio holder, and if that person's not there, one of the other two commissioners, for, you know, envisioning the chance of the changes that would come about at some point. So it's been kind of an evolution, but I don't think it's really a problem unless one of you do, but I didn't want it to just be going on and you not really realizing that I was doing some of these and then bringing it to you for approval as if they were not approved yet.
I think it's appropriate, unless you see some reason why we should do things differently. Obviously, it seems like in a big projects like this that they would know well in advance when they're going to need them. So it seems odd that they are kind of an emergency thing. But, yeah, I mean, these circumstances, you can never predict all circumstances. So I'm okay with, especially I think it's appropriate to have the portfolio holder be the main person to review it. I'm not sure I would feel comfortable doing it myself, but you know, I'd have to see. Maybe with staff, with the staff's guidance and research, and I probably would.
And my recommendation, and we haven't gotten this far with the conversation yet, so this, I don't know if Sue will have a response to this concern, but my recommendation is that it would not be something that we promote or advertise, and every time someone applies, say, well, do you want a temporary one? Then you can start right now. You know, just follow the normal process unless they're contacting us trying to find out what they can do to speed it up. You know, if you have a situation where a facility discontinues business and all of a sudden there's demand and you have a neighboring facility that's, you know, operating for years and they're ready to take it over, and it's harvest time, maybe there is some urgency to it. So I kind of like to have the tool, but I think it should be when they're expressing urgency, not that we just that it become the routine.
And you are correct. We have had more than at this time than we have in past years, and I think, I apologize, I didn't mean to jump in. I was just going to say that I think that some of these licensees I've been working with since back in the middle of July, and it has just taken this long for them to get everything until I have absolutely everything that is needed for them to meet statutory compliance. I don't bring it to the commission. Some of it, I think, is like, quite honestly, I have a couple laying on my desk right now, but one elevator that's in the process of buying another elevator. Their attorneys have been working on it for some time now. And when I talked to one of the managers, he thought that their attorneys had been in contact with me and was working on the documents, and I had been contacted. So then he was making a mad scramble so that they can get the licenses in place. So when that sale is final, they can begin operating that facility that they have purchased and not have to wait until like 2 weeks from now for the next commission meeting so that they can begin receiving grain there. It would be a huge disruption to their business. So,
yeah,
and that's part
of
it.
Well, we have to be flexible, in my opinion, but also let them know what the timelines are so they can prepare accordingly. Do you have any additional thoughts?
Just kind of a hybrid of what you both said. I think that part of it is, you know, with my trip to China in August, it threw off our meeting schedule. So maybe that was part of it. But I think that the practice is fine, but I think that it should be we do it at a meeting or let the portfolio do it. I don't like the idea of, you know, I'm not against it if it was absolutely, but let the portfolio holder make the decision. I don't know that it should come down to me. I don't. I mean, if it's that big a deal, they should have prepped it ahead of time. And some of these
mirror what we do for the extensions, the electric, those temporary permits. Don't we provide temporary?
We do.
Isn't this similar? I view it kind of similar to that.
And that's for most of those. If people now I have the portfolio, but in the past, if they bring it to me, I'd say, you know what, let Julie sign this. Unless, I mean,
right.
A lot of times staff may just go, well, Brian's not here, so let's bring it down the hall.
Yeah.
Where if it truly is that big of an emergency, the portfolio shoulder holder should know about it, and we're almost always available.
And then, but then we vote on those in consent, usually, those temporary permits. Correct, Alana? Or are we giving the temporary and then voting on a permanent?
You're voting on permanent.
Because that's temporary. The same thing.
Well, it's not exactly the same because there's a formal notice required by law, and there's the possible objection of the cooperative, and the temporary process incorporates some of that. One commissioner signing, is that part is the same. the okay. process behind it is a little different, but mm-hmm. yes, that part's
but
the same.
Risk behind signing a PCNN for something small is a lot different than a grain elevator license.
Well, I would assume that during that period
I'm not against what we're doing.
The bond is in play. I mean, if there's a temporary that exists for 2 weeks and then the commission votes it down, there's a bond for that 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I don't know that
there's not a lot of risk.
There's risk any more than any other license.
Okay.
Thanks for bringing
anything
it up.
Anything else? Randy. All right.
That's it on that.
So continue as you're doing it, I think, is the bottom line on that. Subscription to SNL News Service. Sarah. I'm going to confess I have not had a chance to look at the SNL News Service yet.
Is that Saturday Night Live?
I know. Every time I see that.
No, it's not. The name stands. It actually started as Savings and Loan, and it was a news service for savings and loan information. And now it's become a service that a lot of utilities and commissions subscribe to, that you can get news feeds up to 3 times a day, once a week, whatever you want. And they actually have a way that you can go in then and pick what things you want to get information on, like natural gas, pipelines, coal, whatever you want to get in your news feed. You put in how often you want to get the information and what you want to get information on. And then they do special reports off and on. Like quarterly, they do a degree day report so you can see how the weather's been trending for the year. They've done some analysis on the Clean Power Plan. They have a nice, when they were doing their demonstration for us, they have a nice map of the whole country and different colors showing the states that are going to have to have the largest percentage reduction in CO2 as compared to others, and then the percentages. You can get information on rate case results, rates of return, how many states have riders, what type of riders they have. They just have a wealth of information. And then they even have a subsidiary, Regulatory Records, I think it is, that gives ratings on all the commissions, so you can have an idea of how the commissions are rated. So that is something that investors can get information on. Of course, the problem is that it's an expensive, I mean, because they offer a lot, it is an expensive undertaking, and particularly for a small commission such as ours. The base rate that most of the utilities pay is $20,000 a year for this service. And then there is a reduced rate for commissions. And they've even gone way beyond their normal reduced rate in terms of the rate that they would be willing to offer us at this point in time to subscribe to the service. And
which is what?
It would be $6,000 for the first year and $9,000 for the second year.
And how long would they lock those rates in?
For 2 years.
And then after that, what's the normal rate for commissions?
Normal rate is between $10,000 and $15,000 for a commission.
So it sounds like a great amount of information and potentially real valuable. My concern is that staff won't have time to use it. So have you guys talked about that?
Well, and there's also NRI and NARUC. There's all kinds of quote-unquote stuff we already pay for that you could, if you talk to NRI, you can get on all their feeds about the same stuff you're talking about. I think it's not bad, but it's a lot of money, and we can get that stuff from people we're already paying for it with.
I will say I sat in on the meeting, the demonstration. It seemed like a really impressive program to me.
Yeah.
A lot of information out there. I was thinking about it during the hearings the last 2 days when whoever was the witness at the time pointed out where Montana and Wyoming have recently settled and some kind of national averages. I mean, all these things on, they showed rate case issues for, you know, going way back, and as well as very, very current, almost hot off the press type stuff from around the country, and what how rate cases are being settled or decided, and those kinds of things. It looked like a really informative mm-hmm. program.
I would agree. It had an impressive level of data you could drill down to, sorting. It basically made it very easy to work with this data. You could dump it into spreadsheets, do all kinds of sorts and filters and additions. What they did say, though, all of this data is publicly available somewhere else. All they're really doing is gathering it up mm-hmm. and putting it in one place and putting it in a nice format for searching. So
would you – do you feel that it's information that you'd like to have that you currently – don't have access to because you don't have time to go out and dig it up?
Essentially, that's what it is, yes. It's data that we would normally access from other sources and try to consolidate it, and this just makes it an easy to access format. So I guess I would find it very handy for the EPA stuff. You know, I've been going to all kinds of websites, gathering different pieces of data from all over the place. Mm-hmm. This would make a lot of that go to one place and pull down whatever you want.
And is it I hear what you're saying, Commissioner Kalk, and I don't disagree because we do have a lot of information out there. It's always hard to find it's always hard to know who's swaying the information how, and really to get like a third-party independent analysis of anything is almost impossible nowadays, and so important for us. Does this organization have any sort of a bent one way or another? Is there a goal in mind?
They kind of in the middle. They service both utilities and commissions, so they claim to have a kind of, you know, we don't take sides in whatever the argument is. We just provide the data. They provide some analysis and ratings of commissions and commissioners, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that part.
No.
There you go. But yeah, they did.
You're
that was
a
one
a.
thing they did address is they said that they don't sway one way or the other.
Have you looked at who owns them and who's behind them? I mean, that usually tells you if there's some sort of a philosophical.
I don't know.
This is the SNL Financial Group, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they claim to be the Wall Street Journal of Energy.
Okay.
I would say an example that, you know, besides the one I mentioned that I just thought of it during that rate case, but I've had Victor doing some research for me on trying to figure out, you know, the actual megawatt hours of sales from various plants in North Dakota, as well as their CO2 emissions and a few other things. And we've been working on that for some time, and as he started paging through, I mean, it went too fast. I certainly couldn't write down the information, but it looked like a bunch of that stuff was on what he was paging through as he showed it on the demonstration screen. It's really intricate detail that, you know, that all these facilities all over the mm-hmm. country report in to, whether it's the Department of Energy or FERC or whoever, and it's all available there, but, you know, how do you find it?
Have you, Mike, have you and Pat budgeted for something like this?
That's why it's on. That's why Sarah's in front of you. We didn't budget for it. And so, I mean, the question I think for the commission is even if you think this is a wonderful service, and I think all of the people who would use it would find it very useful and saves a lot of time. And you think about the salaries you're paying, $6,000-$9,000 a year is not a lot when you're saving time mm-hmm. And having access to information you may not even be able to find. It's out there. They tell you that up front. All this information is out there. What we do is we have 3,000 employees that put it into access it all and put it into a usable format. So we don't have it in the budget. I kind of tried to dissuade a little bit Sarah from bringing it to you now, because it is early in the biennium, and I understand the process and that commissioners and Joshua, you know, typically wring their hands a little bit about budget issues early on in the biennium, and then as further along we go, the less wringing of hands there is. And I used to do that budget watch stuff too, and so it was same under me, under my watch. But so it's a thing. We don't have it in our budget. So the commissioners, if you wanted us, if you approved this direction, it would be under the auspice of the entire commission budget.
So, Mike, would this be mostly for helping out with rate cases, to where we could do this as a rate case expense?
I don't think we could charge it to the utility company.
What's the tool that we're going to? What do we? I mean, what's the benefit? Where does the benefit tie into where then you'd put it? For how do I explain this to Senator Smucatelli about why I appropriated this? I can say for rate cases. I can say for pipelines. What would be the? Because I hear you, it's information we like, but this is a slippery slope, and you've heard my thoughts on it.
Right. The usefulness is, I think, beyond rate cases. It provides us a way to do a more in-depth analysis of costs than we can now.
But that's a rate case function.
It's not just rate cases, though. It's cost. Sarah right now is working on fuel clause adjustments and purchase gas adjustments.
Okay.
Clean power plan. It's not just about what. It's not just about reading news about what other people are saying. It's actually having the financial data to make an analysis. And so, I can tell you that I spend a lot of time on the internet searching and hunting for usable data. BIC is going to be doing even more of that on this clean power plan. So to have actual data available to you without having to go hunt and find it, it doesn't take very long in terms of salary dollars to cover $15,000 worth of useful service. And so we're here because we don't have the budget. If the commission would like to support us in this and say, look, we think it's a good service and we're willing to spend the money now, knowing that the budget woes and worries will lessen as we go along in the biennium, great.
So this is information to make better regulatory decisions, just as a whole. In utility regulation?
Well, hopefully it gets to that point. First, it's got to come through the financial analysts to get to that point where we're making better, where you
but to
three
Brian's point, why yep. would we, how would we okay. explain this
sure.
to legislators? That's the goal. I mean, we're charged with regulating
it
the
gives
public
us
utilities.
Access to, it gives us access to data that
is already publicly available.
It's publicly available, but not in the, it's, what's that? Yeah, not efficiently available. The nice thing about the service is you have you also have a way of determining whether or not the data they're giving you is accurate, because everything's linked up. So if they got the information from FERC, it links to the FERC database, and you can go and see the original document. It doesn't matter where it comes from. So they go to extreme lengths to enable you to walk it back to the original document. And that's very useful in any kind of proceeding. And so
the folks that would likely use it would be Sarah, Vic, Julie?
And myself. I mean, I think those three are the main ones.
Jack.
I think we're going to have him buried in legal issues, and he's going to have to rely mostly on the financial analysts to do this kind of work.
Is there information about transmission stuff? Like, would Jerry potentially use this for MISO, SPP, those types of regulatory related issues?
Yep, absolutely.
I would assume so, but okay. We didn't really cover that in the presentation, but based on everything else we saw, I would assume that
Is there training? Is it hard to get to use? I mean, is it?
It seemed pretty intuitive. You just kind of walk through, you know, what type of data. I mean, they showed us a little bit. They did say as part of the membership there is unlimited training available. There's online courses. I think you have a – there's a dedicated – what's it called?
Helpline.
Account manager that's dedicated to the – would be dedicated to our account you can work with.
Well, I think it's interesting. I love having access to that kind of data, and I think it's really important to making good decisions. But if we did do it, first I'd want to hear from Josh as to where it comes from. And then secondly, I would want you guys to commit to having the training on the front end that everybody does who could potentially use this so that it isn't like, well, sometime when I get to learning how to use that, I'm going to use it. It's like right away, all a PUD does a half a day of what or a couple hours, whatever, of training on it. So you make the time on the front end to be able to take advantage of what it has to offer. So that would be my two caveats. Where's Josh? And if we go for it, we got to be trained on the front end. Anybody else have
have you looked at the NRI site and all those other sites that are already available? I mean, that's...
I've spent a good deal of time recently looking at all the different sites that this stuff is available on for free, just looking at EPA 111D stuff, and it's there. But I can tell you I've spent a lot of hours hunting and searching for the right data. It is out there. I won't deny that for one second. It's just how long does it take to get to it?
Well, and to your point, Julie, whatever, I mean, I'm not against it towards the end of the YNM, like Mike said, if the money's available. But if we're going to do it now, I want to vote on it. I don't just want to, because I think we want. It's a lot of money, and this is a very slippery slope that we had a whole bunch of money tied up in these kind of things 4 or 5 years ago, and we rolled it all back, and maybe we rolled too far. But this sounds like something that maybe one person would use a lot of, maybe a couple. But I'm sure there's a lot of access to things Jim would like upstairs or Sue would like, and just.
Well, here's the one thing that I think. You know, it's one thing to search for information, but Google searches, which is probably what you're doing, have a lot of shortcomings. And one of them is it's really tough to weed out the crap and the stuff that is, you know, not relevant or shouldn't be, isn't reliable. And so having a publisher who is doing all of that work and really pulling through the stuff that is something that you should really be considering, that has a huge value. I mean, and we're talking $500 a month if it's 600, if it's 6,000 a year, $500 worth of value a month. Boy, just with the impact of clean power alone, if only Vic used it, I want to talk tomorrow about how are we going to get our arms around this? Where are we going to get our information? Who's going to do it? And do we need to hire extra help? So this seems like a bargain when you break it down like that. But I'm not opposed to voting on it either.
A question. Someone asked her kind of indirectly about what states are subscribers, and as I recall, they didn't answer it specifically that it's X number, but did they say most of the states, or do you recall how they answered that?
I don't
as far as regulatory commissions.
No, I do know South Dakota has it.
They weren't willing to share who has the service and who doesn't, so we asked them specifically about South Dakota, knowing that they're also a small commission, and even that they didn't declare straight out, but it was evident from their remarks that South Dakota does subscribe to the service.
How about this as a thought, that draft up a nice memo to us with this is what I think it'll do, this is what I think staff will came, and then I'm probably going to be supportive of it, but this kind of discussion tends to not come through when we're asked to justify this. Well, we talked about it. It was a good idea.
That's a great idea.
If you can lay out, Sarah, I do my job. I need this to help me do my job. It'll save me X amount of time. Okay, then that's a piece of paper that I can look back to 2 years from now, and then we can try it for 1 year, and if it doesn't give you what you need, then we're out $6,000. But to just do it on this kind of discussion, I'm not comfortable with. But I hear you guys are both saying, and it sounds like you're supportive of it. I'm just leery because I've got previous mistakes. But if we document it and you're willing to say what it'll give you, okay. And Mike signs off as a supervisor, all right. I'm there for a trial period.
The other thing, before we end this discussion, though, I'd like to hear from Josh. We're getting close to 10% of the way into the biennium, and it's not a big part of the biennium, but we're starting to get into it a ways. How are we doing if we ventured into this?
You know what he's going to say.
You know, it is early. It's hard to say that spending $15,000. I mean, I'd like to look at the commitment.
It's just six, though, be the 6,000. One six.
Well, you don't know that. Is it six if you sign on for 2 years?
Oh, I see.
You know, there's. I'd like to see the agreement before I comment on that. But, you know, this is an unbudgeted item. My concern with the legislature is if you go ahead and give money towards it now and we try to make it a budget line item in the future, they're going to say, no, you already have the money. You don't need it. You know, so how do we go forward?
Couldn't they put it in their operating down the road in their budget? Include?
Yes. This could be a future budget request. Again, you know, like Mike said, in the beginning of the biennium, I'm always a little apprehensive of saying, yep, let's spend a bunch of money on things that we didn't initially plan for. Maybe the second year of the biennium, like Mike's alluding to, we do have some savings. Maybe we don't travel. Maybe there's less training. Maybe there's circumstances that allow for it that we can say, okay, we've had some savings. We tried it for the first year. It's kind of a building step into the next budget submission.
Well, before we go too far with this, can we do it for $6,000 for 1 year, or do we have to commit to $9,000 for the second year?
Four-year commitment? I mean, I don't know what we have to sign.
No, most people do a year-to-year commitment, but in order, I mean, what we talked to them about was trying to get something that was lower in the first year just because it's so early in the biennium. So that's partly why they came up with a two-year agreement.
So it would be six. You'd have to do the full 15.
I'm pretty sure, yes.
Okay. So we can't try it for a year and decide. We have to try it for 2 years and decide.
Well, we can always ask.
Yeah. I mean, I'd almost be more comfortable trying it for a little bit more for 1 year than committing to a much bigger amount for 15, you know, for 2 years. So why don't you check that out and include that in your memo? Josh, this would come out of operating, I would assume. Now, would we not in the future say we're doing a lot of analysis on our rate case for MDU using this? Could we not charge $1,000 to MDU for this to pay for this service?
I mean, that makes
I mean,
sense.
Not to MDU, but to the fee that they're filing to help cover the charges of the rate case?
Well, it'd be. I think it'd be difficult to figure out a good allocation method for that. But
monthly cost, if it, you know, $500 a month, and that month Vic was spending bulk of his time on that case. I don't know. I thought it was a creative idea by Brian.
I think when the utility companies figure out the power that this would give us, they may they may not want to be willing partners in paying for this. But.
All right.
Well, if we go that route, we should probably look at some of the Westlaw stuff that Alana uses. And, I mean, we do have other subscription-based things. So if we start looking at allocating costs, we probably need to broaden that topic.
But after I thought about it for a while, if you can justify it and make a good case, it makes sense. But it's just I'm very leery about unless we can really know what we're doing. And when you talk about the stuff that we know works, it's a legitimate budget item if we need it.
And I, to Josh's point about waiting another year, we need help now with the clean power plan. And so if it isn't I mean, like I said, I'll be talking about this tomorrow and trying to find ways to beef up our resources for that. It's a game changer for this agency and for our state. We have to, and we're one of just a handful of agencies that are going to play a role in it. We have to be equipped to do, you know, make good decisions. So I don't think waiting a year really helps much when it comes to that piece.
You can always do the emergency commission.
We won't be needing $10,000 from the emergency commission by the end of the biennium.
I would hope not. No.
We're not. We're just not really realistic.
I just take one less money route trip and we can cover this. I mean, let's be pragmatic.
Commissioners, I think we have enough to go on here. We'll put together a good memo and we'll do the best that we can and hopefully
potentially run it on consent next meeting if we all look at it and it's cool. It's 2 weeks.
Is that okay? I'm just thinking open meeting here. I don't want to get in some kind of email.
We're in a meeting. With a discussion topic that's listed on the agenda. We're cool.
Okay.
Well, Lana, you got him scared good.
Okay, so you guys will report back with your memo, hopefully by the next meeting. Okay.
Bless you.
So number three, 2015 Reclamation Award. Jim.
Yes, provide you with a memo with a recommendation. I guess we talked at this last staff meeting, and Dean came up with a suggestion to recommend Dakota Westmoreland for the award for with mm-hmm. some of their operations to avoid mining through with some associated disturbances or disturbances to some of the woody draws near the at the Beulah mine. And this award is generally presented at the Lignite Council annual meeting, which I know they call the fall conference, I guess, but that's coming up here in 4 weeks, I think, from today would be the noon luncheon for that. So just get your preliminary indication. If this is something you'd want to go with, then we'd have something on regular agenda for the next meeting.
It's acceptable to me. I don't have a better nomination. So,
yeah, the only other thing I thought of as we're sitting here, the other discussion thinking about this was up at BNI, that drag line move with what they did there, that eliminated some disturbance, particularly along, I think it's Hagel Creek or some of that, but other disturbance for their operations. But
well, maybe that was a better one.
Well, that just
that's a pretty good idea, too.
Will that be long term, more than 1 year?
That was more of a one-time type thing, but there was a disturbance along Hagel Creek that was avoided where they would have had a wider road to move that drag line.
The other thing that I think has been, and you pointed it out, and I saw it on a mine tour, was their reclamation of the underground mine.
Yeah, we had
the previous. Yeah, have we already awarded something for that?
Yeah, last year at Falkirk, we did that.
Okay.
Fig and Scow.
Yeah, Fig and Scow. I like this. How much longer is this mine going to be operating?
Not much longer. They probably continue if they get an extension of their Heskett contract. But right now, that, to my knowledge, that hasn't been decided yet. That would be roughly 500,000 tons a year versus the 3 million tons they mine now. So,
if, with that aside, when do they shut down?
Well, the production will drop come May of next year. That's when Coyote Creek comes on. Coyote Creek mine mm-hmm. comes online. Will be May of next year. So,
well, I've been out and seen this as well, and I was impressed when I saw it, and I think it's worth giving them an award for.
If I just throw out there too that whoever presents the award, sometimes it's a chair, sometimes it's a portfolio holder. So however you guys work that out, because I think you did it last year, a couple years ago, maybe I did it. So we rotate that around sometimes too.
Okay.
But I know it's not me. But I will be there for the luncheon.
All right.
I won't be.
You're not retiring, are you, Jim?
No.
I'm going to be vacation that week. I'll be someplace between here and Phoenix, I think.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Okay. So we're good
we'll
with that.
Okay. We'll have an item then on the regular agenda for the next meeting then. So.
Okay. I have one discussion item at your leisure, Madam.
Okay. We're on our. That was our last pre-announced discussion item. So
the only thing I wanted to add is that on our schedule, we've already had a transmission update meeting September 15th. It's already on your guys' schedule. But just to give you what we kind of laid out is that morning, and it's not, it's just noticed in case you guys want to come. But at 10 o'clock, we've got a couple guys from FERC that are come out and give us a general transmission update, what's going on in the country. And then the afternoon starting at 1, it'll be 20 minutes with MDU, 20 minutes with Otter Tail, 20 minutes with Excel, 20 minutes with SPP, 20 minutes with MISO, just going through all the updates with the integration of SPP with the concerns of the SPP MISO lawsuit, blah, blah, blah. But just
good.
So, you know, if there's anything particular you wanted to cover, I guess that was a big question. If there's something that you want me to cover or them to cover, I'll put it on there.
All right. So, think about that.
Okay. That's it, Madam Chair.
Is that a notice meeting?
Yeah, it's already noticed.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Is that the FERC 101 briefing, 10 a.m.?
Yep.
And then 1 o'clock, it's just a quarterly transmission update.
Quarterly transmission update, yep.
That's okay. A freshman level orientation because it's 101.
Yeah.
It's an upgrade from FERC for Dummies. We're past that.
I'm still working on my finals for that one.
But, you know, it's still the long term. When we reorganize come January of next year, we should have a discussion about splitting apart those two, though.
SPP and myself.
Yeah, because we're the only commission that one guy is covering, too.
I don't know. I think it's working okay. What do you think?
First I've heard of any problem.
I don't know if you could get two votes on that.
All righty then.
All right. Now, scheduling. We have one item to schedule. I have a couple that I'd throw out here for potential scheduling.
I have three more.
All right.
Maybe they're the same.
They might be. We might be thinking about it. Meeting with Petroleum Council in January, so that should be easy. Let's just jump ahead to January.
I'm pretty well booked up.
You'd be surprised. Don't forget in January, if you're available, January 7th to the 9th is the MARC Commissioners Training in San Antonio, Texas.
Yep.
Grainman's Convention, the 17th to the 20th.
I see the 6th, as that's right before. We've got a commission meeting on the 5th.
I'm open that 11 to 14, like wide open.
11 to 14.
Because I might
say good to me, yeah.
It works for me, too. When did you say the Grainman's?
Grainman's is the 17th to the 19th.
Should we do, like, the 11th? Monday the 11th?
Sure.
Or Wednesday the 13th? Either one of those would work for me.
Maybe Wednesday, in case we got people that are driving in, they can come in on Tuesday night.
Sounds good. So, does that work for you, Randy?
Yeah, but I can't remember which one you chose.
January 13th, Wednesday.
Okay, yep.
Okay. All right.
You have a specific time that you want?
Noon.
Noon.
Yep. I think we did noon. 11:30 to 1:30, yep.
Is that okay?
Yep, okay. Perfect. All right, on my other list, I have just throwing out there things that are pending. I looked through my piles. Coal Creek NOV, MDU rate case, work session. These would be work sessions. Sakakawea Pipeline and Bridger Pipeline. Work sessions.
That covered two of the ones I had, and I just had thought we should get together and talk about staff stuff sometime again. I was thinking about the pipeline discussion we had the other day about just kind of what we're thinking.
Okay.
I get that question a lot, and I don't know where I'm at.
All right. Okay. So, Randy, Coal Creek NOV, that's yours. Remind me on the timeline on that. Do we need a work session, is that not appropriate or necessary? Are we waiting for things?
I don't know. I hadn't researched it or given it a bunch of thought, and now I'm not positive either. They
were going to draft orders and deliver them.
By the 18th, but I think it's better to have a work session right away that it's all fresh in our mind, because I think it'll be
true. Yeah, we'd kind of talked about that, because the 18th only was going to leave us like a week before, and so we thought we'd schedule one today, and it might signal to them, you know, if we're all on move in one direction, they might want to implement that into their findings.
Okay, so
good point. I'm glad you remembered that.
Okay, so that leaves, when is the deadline for having this done, the 22nd? 23rd or something like that?
Maybe the 25th or something.
Okay. So next week is kind of what we need to look at if we're going to get ahead of the presentation of the or the filing of the draft orders. Let's see.
Well, our Friday just freed up. I don't know what our plans were for other stuff, but.
Oh, this Friday? Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I'm not. Maybe we all had plans to do stuff.
I would be able to get together on Friday. I'm also available.
Does the same attorney represent that wind farm as represents Coal Creek? What sort of signal he's available to, maybe, huh?
I don't know.
I'm not available on the 8th. The 9th would be. I could do something on the 9th. The 10th, we have me.
If we did the morning, like at 9 or something.
Yeah, the 9th is really the only day next week I'm available, so it would have to be the 4th or the 9th.
The 4th does work for me. I'd rather do it in the morning if we're going to do it on the 4th.
Fine by me.
I have a commitment at 9, so at 10.
So you want to go 10:30 to give yourself some more time.
10:30 would be great. So Coal Creek NOV work session 10:30 on the 4th, Daryl.
Okay.
Did
you say Coal Creek?
Coyote Creek. I have CC written here, sorry. Coyote Creek.
And we settled on 10:30 now, right?
Yes. All right. The next one on my list was MDU rate case work session.
Same thing, whenever you want.
Do you want to do that on the 9th?
Sure. Give us some time to review things. I've got a meeting.
You got a MARC meeting
at 10, and I got a phone call. I got to be on at 2. I don't have to be on it, too. Actually, Jerry could be on it if need be.
So do you want to say 9, 11, or 1?
11's cool.
Okay.
We won't take more than an hour. Do we?
No.
11?
11 a.m. on the 9th.
Yeah, okay.
September 9th.
Stacy, on the 1 the 9th, is that just us talking again, or did we invite my colleagues to that? Get them an up?
Us.
Do you guys want an update where we're at, or do you really care?
On Mark?
Yeah. Okay.
There you go.
Let's just do that.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Since you guys are each bus tour leaders on Tuesday.
Did you ever pass on my idea?
No.
I want a hat.
Meeting yet.
Okay. Yeah, CO2 rocks.
I have it on my list to discuss.
You want a shirt, too?
Okay.
Yep.
We got shirts made up.
Good.
We did. Did you show
them
your shirt?
I love the shirts. The Bismarck ones? Okay.
I gave
that's
you an ninth. Idea.
Sakakawea Pipe. I think we can combine these work sessions. Sakakawea Pipeline and the Bridger Pipeline. Sakakawea is the one that goes under the lake. We had the hearing last week in Stanley. Bridger is the Heart River Pipeline. That's the one where the unions came and expressed a lot of concern. That one's down in Hettinger. We're waiting for some information from both of those, but. So I think maybe we should look, like, give them a little time. It's always more helpful to have the information, but I also think it kind of gives them a deadline for getting their information to us if they see a work session on our schedule. So I'd like to get some of those cleaned off.
That works for you, Madam
14th,
Chair.
Let's see. That week of the next week there, is that ugly?
September 14th.
Ooh, yeah, that is ugly. Yeah, and I'm gone the 18th. Yeah.
The only day I see is the 14th sometime
yeah.
in the morning or afternoon.
Let's do it in the morning because we've got Dakota Access that afternoon.
Okay. 14th.
Does that work for you, Randy, the 14th?
Yeah, if we can kind of, well, I suppose we'll want to do 2 hours on these.
I don't think we'll need 2 hours. I think we could schedule an hour and a half. We could do.
I was going to try and get a dentist appointment that morning, but so if we can do a little, you know, toward the later end of the morning would work better for me.
Fine by me.
11 o'clock? Let's just do a half an hour each. Honestly, I don't think we need more than that.
Man, do we get anything done in a half hour, though?
If we run long, as long as they're noticed back-to-back, we're okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think 10:30 I should be able to be here.
Okay, let's do 10:30 and 11:15, 45 minutes each. I don't care which one is first, Daryl.
Okay.
10:30, 11:15 on, what day did we say?
14th. We're all losing it.
September,
okay. Right?
September 14th, 10:30 for one, first one, 11:15 for the second one. And then we have staff discussion, which is just the three of us.
Well, I just thought.
Do you want to do that Friday?
Well, I don't care. I just, you know, we get all these, you know, what we did, we never really did a full wrap-up of the budget positions we got and what we're thinking. And just, I get that question a lot. What do you guys do next session? I'm like, well, I don't know. But I don't know if it's worthwhile. Doesn't need to be anytime soon. Just put something in the calendar. It seems like it's always good for us to get together once in a while.
Well, we could. Yeah, give an update on some of the new hires and where we're at and some of the open positions and some of that. So I think it might be worthwhile.
I'm fine Friday if you want.
Randy?
I'm fine whenever.
Friday, work for you?
Mm-hmm.
We didn't schedule anything there. Oh, yeah, we did at 10:30, right?
Mm-hmm. 10:30, yep.
So what about?
9:30?
No, I'm tied up from 9 to 10.
11:30?
11:30, and then we just talk for half an hour?
Sure. Or if we wander long, then we just take Randy's lunch.
Okay, that works.
11:30 on the 4th?
Yep.
And that's just three of you.
Any members of the public?
No, members of the public. We're just saying that we don't necessarily need staff, particular people, to impede on their time.
Okay, anything else?
I have just another note, Madam Chair. When you're looking at September, the September 20th to the 23rd, I signed up to go to the Petroleum Council meeting in Fargo. I don't know which one of those I'm going to go to, but I don't know if you – I'm sure you two are invited too.
I just looked at that schedule in more detail yesterday.
So as that plays out, we might have to notice that if we're all going to be over there. Or not, that just
– I'll be there the 22nd and 23rd.
Okay.
So
– I will probably be there the 21st and 22nd.
Did you look
I'll
at the
be
agenda?
There probably
the – There's not much going on the 21st.
Isn't there? Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Well, I'll be there sometime. I just wanted to throw it out there.
I'll be there at times, too.
Might as well.
Should we just go ahead and notice all 3 days, just in case? I mean, that, I don't think
that's
much of a
problem. How about 3 days? I don't want people thinking that we're spending 3 days there.
22nd, 23rd, then?
Why don't we, just you guys let him know when you think, look at the schedule and let him know when you think you're
going to be there. Okay, that's a good idea.
Okay, I'll work with Esther on that.
I just throw it
I'm
out there.
I'm not sure that needs... I mean, we're not having a meeting. We're...
Well, it's kind of like the Grainman's Convention, you know? We
the same town.
I mean, you're at the same place. It's a...
Well, we're at the same place, you know, when we go to the Lake Dine Energy Council luncheon. Is that on there? I mean, is...
But we're going into a room, and we're a major part of the discussion at that.
No, I mean, like, their annual meetings. All the annual meetings, do we notice those as meetings? Yes.
I'm saying I think we sometimes get carried away with this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I guess it doesn't. I don't see that it.
We've got time. I just threw it out there that.
Yeah. Why don't you? We all just tell Daryl which days we're going to be there, and he can notice the ones where we duplicate.
It's in Fargo, one of the hotels.
Yes. It's at the Ramada Plaza, Fargo.
And
okay.
Then,
Randy.
As far as the 30th, I took the time now to look ahead at the LEC agenda. They have a lot of stuff in the afternoon. Some of it's regarding clean power plan, that sort of thing. So I don't know if we have an informal, anything that's come up that's been scheduled yet. But if not, I'd be in favor of just removing it as an option. And then if we could start the meeting at 9, that'd be a lot more likely that we get down there to do the
presentation.
Presentation at noon.
I'm fine with that.
9:30 for the commission meeting.
Nine. Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else?
And then let's not schedule an informal if we don't have anything scheduled.
Yeah, why don't you just take that off?
Unless something's already scheduled, I guess. I mean, if
yeah. Okay. Does that conclude our discussion? We are adjourned.